Praise the Lord. Let's read this scripture before we pray over the tithes and offering. Continuation of last 2 weeks' scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. As a result of your ministry of giving, they give glory to God. Let's talk about Paul went to Corinth to collect offering to help the Jerusalem church because of famine. So as a result of your ministry of giving, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. So, offering is an obedience to the good news of Christ, right? Amen. There was a natural famine, so they gave to help them in the natural. But your giving also helps us to give in the spiritual. Amen. For example, the school, right? We're going to China to walk with them so that they can continue the ministry. Amen. And coming September, we are going new places. I have not gone to new places for a while now. Amen. Praise God. So we are more specific now. So your offering helps us first and foremost. It's your obedience to God. He wants us to pay our tithes. Pay your tithes. It doesn't belong to you. That's why you pay and then you give your offerings. So it helps us to carry the spiritual food out to spread in China. Then verse 14, and then they will pray for you with deep affections, because when you help them in the natural, they always remember you, right? Naturally, they'll remember you because of the overflowing grace. The grace of giving your offerings is the grace of God that enables you to give. Amen. It's God who prosper you. That's why he enables you to give. So you never shortchange God, especially in your tithes. You don't cut back on your tithes. Then you are not acknowledging it's his grace that prosper you. It's the overflowing grace of God given to you. First, he has given you grace to prosper. Then he gives you the grace to give. Praise God. Thank you, Father. All right. Let's pray over the tithes and offering. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you that we can bring the tithes belong to you and worship to you in honoring you. Thank you, Father. Acknowledging all the grace that you have bestowed on us in obedience to thy word. We thank you also, Lord, that the offerings that we bring are seeds that we sow, it shall be multiplied back to us by your grace. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone say, amen. Let's continue different methods to minister to the sick. Last week, we studied this, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, go about doing good. Jesus only go about doing good. God only does good. Amen. Healing all those who are those who healed? They were sick. Sick are classified oppressed of the devil. Amen. For this world is under the oppression of the devil since Adam and Eve sinned against God. Amen. So healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God was with him by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, anointing Jesus, go about doing good. Amen. He doesn't have to do anything bad or judge you to bring something bad into your life. No need, because the devil will do it. Amen. And many times he judged. What's his judgment? He doesn't judge to punish us. He judged. He lifts up his grace from us. And then the devil will swamp, destroy those people. Amen. So first thing, it's an oppression, right? Once we lay hands or we pray for you, different methods to minister healing, oppression leaves. When oppression leaves, you are healed. Then you recover. Amen. You are healed, then you recover. You are healed, then you recover. You go to hospital, doctors cut you up. They say, okay, you are healed. You go back and you recover. Amen. So it's the same, right? So after oppression leaves, you start to recover. Amen. Two ways you recover, medicine or the power of God also will help you to recover. So we have studied three methods to minister to the sick last Sunday. The purpose of this study is for you to have faith in the methods, right? And to release your faith for your healing. After you have recovered completely, you hold fast to your healing by the same faith that brought you healing. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Today, I'm going to teach another method. I'm going to use it. I've never used this method before in this church. So I'm going to use it today. There are two things about sickness. In oppression of the devil, is the disease condition of the physical body. So the oppression leaves, that's where you are healed. You must believe you are healed. Then you recover, right? So you must understand, during the recovery process, that's when thoughts can come, the devil can attack. Now, it's the same principle. The moment you believe God, before you see the result, that's where the devil attacks you. That's where we need to teach you how you hold fast and continue to walk by faith until you see the results. Amen. So same thing, direction. You felt that the Lord is leading you in that direction. It's from now till you reach that destination, that's where the devil fights your faith. Amen. So it's the same faith. The faith that you receive, direction, faith that you believe you're healed, that's the same faith you must use to hold fast to your healing. Amen. Don't wait for my body completely healed, then I believe I'm healed. No. Amen. So for someone to recover from sickness, we have to remove the oppression of the devil. That's when that person is healed, then the physical body needs to recover. Right? Last Sunday, we studied three methods. One is laying on the hand. Lay hand, oppression leaves. Second method, in the name of Jesus, especially if somebody is not with you, you command that oppression leaves. Thirdly, we pray the prayer of faith for yourself. Or somebody pray with you, you pray agreement. That moment you pray a prayer of faith, oppression leaves. That means you are healed. So far, these are the methods we studied. The next method we study is anointing with oil and the prayer of faith. So today, I have this bottle of oil I never used before today. Yeah, it's okay. And it's from James chapter 5, biblical instruction, James chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. But the purpose of the anointing of oil is consecration. Set the person apart for healing. The purpose of anointing of oil is to set it apart, set you apart. Amen. And it's a divine promise for divine purposes. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. It's not the oil. Amen. And the Lord will raise them up. That's what the scripture says. That's what we will read. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is anyone sick among you? This scripture talks about you're so sick, you cannot pray for yourself. If anyone among you sick, let him call for the pastors of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him or her with oil in the name of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Is the oil anointed? Is the name of the Lord anointed? They will study in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Last week we studied, Peter said, faith in the name of Jesus, make this lame man strong. Amen. So I ask you a question, is the oil or the name of Jesus? Amen. When we anoint the oil, it's still anointed in the name of Jesus. When we pray the prayer of faith, we pray in the name of Jesus. It's not the oil. Amen. Then what's the purpose of the oil? So it's not the oil. Your faith must not be on the oil. Your faith must be on the name of Jesus. And verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. The same word save here is the same Greek word zozo as in Romans chapter 10. That means you are saved, you receive salvation. And the other meaning means you are made whole, you are healed, you are preserved. Preservation. That means not only you are healed, you are preserved after you've been healed. Amen. God doesn't just heal you and then after leave you alone, right? He preserves you. You must believe. That's why you must hold fast to your healing. How? You hold fast to the word save. Preservation. I'm being preserved. Amen. I'm being preserved for what? I'm being preserved because He anoints me for ministry. He preserves me for the ministry to fulfill His plan and purpose for my life. That's why I decide that I won't die of sickness and disease because I'm being preserved to fulfill His plan. I still have to run China. Amen. So God preserve you. Why? He said, Pastor needs me to help him in this church. God needs him. God, you need him. He needs us. So He preserve me for the church. For God's plan. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Let me tell you how I went to Rhema Bible Training Center. You know, to go there, you apply for a visa. If you apply for a visa, the bank needs to show a statement, show to the embassy that you have how much money in the bank. Correct or not? Let me show you how. I don't have enough. So I asked my mother, borrow from my mother. My mother passed me $17,000. I said, I'll return to her. You put in a bank, you show a statement after you give it back to her. Lah. Correct or not? So now you know how rich I was in those days. After that, my mother said, you know, you can have it. So she has a part in this church. Correct or not? And her friend, that time I haven't been to Bible school yet. So the company sent me to U.S. to work there. I went there and then she moved with her husband to, at the time they were very young, 28 years old, the husband, a banker, so she moved to Hong Kong. She moved to Hong Kong. Man, when she gave birth, she went into depression. Then we got a whole set of writing books sent to her. When we started the church, she sent us for this church, I think it was $15,000. Then she has a part, you know, amen. After that, she was fine, you know, used the authority, pray for her. And then we were in the U.S., haven't been to Bible school yet. And she was okay, you know, from there on, praise the Lord. Every year, she would send $10,000 into this church. her mother single-handedly raised up 8 children after the husband died. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So it is a prayer of faith will heal the sick, not the oil. Okay, that's a wrong teaching on this. Amen. And this scripture doesn't say, ask pastor pray over the oil and the oil is anointed. No. He says, anoint the sick with oil, prayer of faith will save him. Still have to pray a prayer of faith. Amen. Everybody bring a bottle of oil, pray over the oil and the oil is anointed. He says, anoint the sick with oil in the name of the Lord. Just like Jesus said, in my name, lay hands on the sick. What's the purpose of anointing oil? It's the same as laying hands on the sick in the name of Jesus. Right? Lay hands on the sick, anoint the sick with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's when we invoke the law of contact and transmission. In other words, that's when we release our faith once we lay hands or anoint with oil. That's where you release your faith to receive the healing power of God. The anointing is not in the oil. Amen. So everybody bring a bottle of oil and then the pastor pray over it and he put it in the car. And somebody said to me, you know, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. In the middle of the night, Scully, I drive to the hospital. I want to perform surgery. I went to my boot. No more oil. I panicked. Yeah, fear creeps in. You finish, okay? Amen. Sometimes wrong teaching, the devil will come in, will create fear. Once you fear, you go and perform surgery, you finish. Amen. So it's the prayer of faith. Anoint the sick with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. But the prayer of faith that saved the sick. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Amen. It's the prayer of sick that saved the sick or healed the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Amen. And if he has committed sin, because he committed sin, then he fell ill, he'll be forgiven. Did he say the sick must confess their sin? No. Just pray, sin forgiven, sickness healed. Amen. Because forgiveness is the grace of God. Forgiveness by the blood of Jesus is the grace of God. You cannot exchange, use anything to exchange for the blood. But of course, you need to repent. You get me saying now? Whatever caused you to be sick, you need to repent. Right? But he forgives you first, then you repent. Amen? Praise God. So James' instruction to the church, another way to administer to the healing power of God to the sick is by anointing them with oil and then in the name of Jesus and pray the prayer of faith. Amen? So every time I lay hands, that's why I never use the oil. But today I decided, since I teach on them, I say use the oil. No, I'm not going to pour the whole thing. Okay? In the Old Testament, two entities were anointed with oil. People and things. When someone or something was anointed, it meant that they were to be smeared with anointing oil. Thus signifying, now listen very carefully, thus signifying that the Lord set them apart for a specific office or function. When something was anointed, it was consecrated to a specific function, and from that moment on, the thing anointed was not to be used for any other purpose. Then in Exodus, we find God giving instruction to Moses to anoint things. Exodus chapter 40, verse 9, "And you shall take the anointing oil, anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and you shall hallow it and all its utensils, and it shall be holy." The word hallow means to be set apart, consecrated. All these things, you anoint the temple of God, is set apart for God. Amen. Your body is a temple of God, is set apart for God. So the devil and his sickness cannot destroy your body. Amen. Verse 10, "You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all its utensils and consecrate it." Anoint is to set apart, is to consecrate the altar, and altar shall be most holy because it's meant for God. Verse 11, Exodus 40, "And you shall anoint the laver and its base and consecrate it." And in Exodus 28, we find God telling Moses to anoint the people. Once again, when someone is anointed, he is separated or consecrated to stand or function in a particular office. In the case of Aaron and his son, it was the office of the priest. Exodus 28, verse 41, "So you shall put them on Aaron and your brother and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, set apart, that they may minister to me as priests. So in the Old Testament, you know, in the tabernacle, God instructed Moses to anoint the altar and the priests, the things, and everything that's in the temple, right? So significance of the anointing. In the New Testament, when James instructed us to anoint a sick person with oil, the person who is anointed is set apart or consecrated for healing. And the devil cannot touch it. That means oppression must leave and is set apart for healing. Amen. The person who is anointed is set apart or consecrated for healing and should not accept anything less. Amen. That's where you refuse to accept sickness symptoms that come back to you. Right? You just say, I live long life, he will satisfy me. You have to confess it. Amen. If you have faith. Suppose the anointed laver or altar in the Old Testament were not to be used for anything other than service to the Lord after the anointing with oil took place, why should we accept the devil's oppression on our bodies? Now, those who are healthy, you just believe God, I refuse to accept any sickness. Why should I accept it? In Jesus' name, amen. It's meant for God, right? Every Sunday, you think you do set up, you have a fun, you have an oven so early. No, your body is set apart for God. I'm serving you, it's for you. Amen. Don't get frustrated because pastor, you got to come early to set up, you know. You know what you do? You can turn that into living healthy life for yourself. This body is meant for God. I'm serving him. Little things like moving to some of the speakers. Pastor need me, okay? Yeah, I need you. You know, I need you physically to help. I need your money to help. Amen. Amen. Because I need your help. I need his help to watch over you guys. Today in the morning, still thinking, I mean, what is there else? Besides you and your children's lives become successful, right? Other than that, what else? The rest is all bonus. Right or not? What do you think I'm thinking? Think of pictures. No, every time you think, just talk about it. Maybe you and your children's lives, I don't know, maybe your grandchildren. Will I see your grandchildren? I don't know. Then you are successful. Amen. Then, you know, you got a problem. You can't see me. Then I always say, think of you and I pray for you. And I pray for, like Adrian, 3 Sundays, I pray for her. Amen. Praise God. No, I didn't mean to pray for her this morning. That I felt, you know, I just had it. Kurman chinimbre. So, you can translate how you serve God in little ways into, Lord, I'm serving you, Lord. This body is meant for you. Amen. Why should I accept sickness and disease? If you are healthy, you should say, why should I accept sickness and disease? With long life, he will say, I'll live long and I refuse to die of sickness and disease. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. What do you think I'm thinking? Yeah. I'm thinking, man, I'm not finished that. I'm not done yet. So he has to keep me alive to do his ministry. In fact, when Brother Higgins finished his fourth phase of his ministry, God said, you know, your fourth phase can be as long as your third phase. And I calculated, oh my goodness, as long as his fourth phase is as long as his third phase, he'll be 110. And Jesus told him, you know, if after that you want to live on, then we talk about it. His fourth phase is not even as long as his third phase. He don't want to go on already. He died at 86. And the founder of my Bible school, the one I followed him and listened to his teaching for so many years, he lived to 86. Guess what? My mother is 95. Man, easy. Praise the Lord. I'll live to 90 at least. No, I'm going to live to 100. I'll leave my wife. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So why should we accept the devil's oppression on our body instead for healing once we have been anointed with oil? It is set apart or consecrated for God to heal and to use as his temple for worshiping God and to serve him. Every Sunday you say, thank you, Lord, I'm serving you. Thank you, Lord. 2 things he cannot touch, your finances and your physical health. Amen. Right? I mean, what other problems you have? Nothing else. I tell you what's the problem in this country, I mean, especially in this church. You all got no problem except one area. Not careful, you yield to fear. Yeah, because you got no problem with food. Not careful, you use the fear. Why not? because there's no other needs. Amen. So the moment the sick person is anointed with oil, he should be considered himself set apart for healing and should boldly reject sickness as it tries to dominate your body. Amen. Of course, you're sick. Believe God, you recover. Then from there on, that's how you keep your healing, because your body is consecrated for God. Don't allow, don't accept where? In your thought life. That's where it all begins. Right now, the same principle applies in any aspect of your life. You fear because of sickness. You fear because you got children. You fear because you got no money to raise children. Hello? You fear you cannot handle whatever is coming ahead of you. You deal with that fear. Amen? That's how you hold fast to your healing. That's how you hold fast to your job. You don't fear. Of course, like, you know, you go your own way. Sometimes you make some dumb decision. Of course, you will suffer with it. You get what I'm saying? Like, amen? Fear always comes first and foremost here. It may not be fear, but it begins with knowledge. Sometimes we have too much knowledge. You know a lot of things about all kinds of problems, prenatal, postnatal, before sick, after sick, after you get healed. No job, you fear. After you got a job, you fear. Excuse me. You got promoted, you get fear. You fear you cannot handle the job. You fear this, you fear that. Hello, all of us have gone through, including me, before I went to Bible school. First thing the devil bombards you, say you cannot handle it. Every day I ask God for wisdom. And I'm not waiting for promotion. I move ahead. You don't promote me, I'll find a job next level. I don't stay put. I mean, you don't follow me, okay? So the moment I find another job with a higher, more pay, higher destination, the devil come, ding. You cannot handle it, you cannot handle it, you cannot handle it. 6 months, he bombard me. So what do you do? Every day you ask for wisdom, 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 wisdom. I go to the university, you know what's the motto? Seek wisdom. Amen. So the moment the sick person is anointed, consider yourself consecrated, right? If we are to use the anointing of oil method, then we should understand the significance of this act. Once you're anointed with oil, you should think differently from that moment you see yourself set apart for healing. Amen. So the purpose of anointing of oil is the same. It's a means of contact and transmission, invoking the law of contact and transmission. Amen. You know, it's not a physical contact. Many times, the moment we lay hands, we know what's the problem. And the same with Brother Higgins, the moment he lay hands, he knew where the problem is. And sometimes he knows exactly what the problem is. There is something about laying on of hands. Amen. Praise God. So similarly, between laying on hands and anointing of oil, both invoke the law of contact and transmission. It's at this point of contact that the pastor and the sick person release their faith, believing the healing power is transmitted and you are consecrated for healing. Don't accept any other thoughts. Amen. At that moment, the sick person must consider himself healed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But the prayer of faith is what he says that heals you. Prayer of faith is ask, believe that you receive, then you receive it. So what to expect after the prayer of faith is prayed? James not only tells the church to anoint the sick with oil, but also to pray the prayer of faith for them. Right? So we taught on the prayer of faith last Sunday. It's found in Mark 11, 24, John 16, 23, 24. The prayer of faith is asking the Father in the name of Jesus. The moment we ask, we believe we receive the healing power of God and we are healed the moment we ask. Amen. You must believe that you are healed. When you're praying for finances, you don't pray for finances. When you take authority over the devil and command the angel to bring in finances, you must believe you have the finances. Amen. You don't wait till you have the finances. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God always comes through. The Heavenly Father, let's talk about the Heavenly Father always will come through. I know somebody, man, first because, oh my goodness, man, I need a lot of money for my child's education. Now I ask, is the money there? He says, it's there. Why? Because the Father is faithful. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Anointing of oil serves as a point of contact and receive it through the prayer of faith. It is not the oil that heals you. It tells us that the prayer of faith prayed in the name of Jesus that heals us. The prayer of faith is a prayer that receives something whenever it is used. You use it, you believe you receive something. And Jesus said, whatever we pray this prayer, we are to believe, we receive. What are we to believe to receive when we have been anointed with oil and prayed for? We are to believe that we receive the healing power of God. The healing power of God is an invincible spiritual force. These scriptures do not instruct us to pray over the oil and anoint the oil. He said, anoint the sick with oil. See how people can misconstrue? Pray over the oil, anoint the oil. No, he said, anoint the sick with oil. Not pray and then God anoint the oil. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Then in that case, your faith is on the oil, not on the name of Jesus, not on prayer of faith. You see where the problem is or not? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We don't pray over the oil and then believe the oil contains the anointing. No. This is the wrong practice. There are only two things that carry the anointing. One, physical body. Two, cotton material. Nothing else. Pray over tissue. Tissue paper does not carry the anointing. There are only two materials. How do we know? Brother Hagin experienced it. Paul experienced it. Of course, the experience must be from the scripture. There are only two things that carry the anointing, the power of God. Physical body. Second is cotton material. Pastor, how many percent cotton? I didn't experiment. I don't know. So if you want to bring a cotton material, to be sure you bring 100% cotton, right? If not 90, 80%, let's try out. Amen. So it clearly stated that the prayer of faith that saves the sick, the word save means to heal or to make whole, right? Thank you, Lord. Amen. So common misconception is the oil heals. The oil contains anointing. No, the oil doesn't heal. So don't pray over the oil. The power source is God Himself. Amen. It's not the hand. The hand just carrier of God's power. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So praying over the oil does not make the oil contain the healing power. It's a prayer of faith in the name of Jesus that will release the healing power that heals the sick. Amen. Thank you, Father. Fifth method, handkerchiefs and aprons. Now, in those days, there's no nylon, only cotton. So human body and cotton carriers, they carry the anointing. And the purpose of handkerchief is the sick person is not here. Amen. So you can bring the handkerchief that's cotton handkerchief, carries the anointing and bring to the sick, and the sick will receive their healing. But the sick must be instructed also, right? Why? Because all these methods, the purpose of this method is for you to release your faith. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So that's the reason why you need to instruct the sick person when you bring the handkerchief to the sick person. So the anointing healing power of God can be transmitted onto a human body and cotton, but not on tissue paper or any other materials. Now, healing power is just like electricity. Something must conduct it. All right? Electricity is conducted through copper. Aluminum does not conduct electricity. So it's the same. Healing power of God only conducted through human hands or cotton materials. So Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Now how God worked special miracles or unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. By the hands of Paul. Right? Verse 12, Acts 19. So that even the handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body. That means Paul's body carries the anointing transmitted to the handkerchiefs or aprons and brought from his body to the sick, and the disease left. What's disease left? The oppression left. Amen. Not destroy or disappear. Why it left? When you left this place, it refers to a personality. Oppression of the devil, it's a personality. It's a demonic personality. That's why it left. After the service over, every one of you leaves. Correct or not? It says the disease left. What do you mean by that? It means the oppression left. What's oppression? The oppression of the devil leaves. That's where people are healed in the moment the handkerchief was brought on the sick person. Amen. Why? Because there's two powers. Healing power, demonic power, oppression of the devil. Of course, the healing power is greater. The name of Jesus is greater. Then the oppression or the sickness or the disease must leave. That's where you must believe that you are healed. Amen. Don't wait. Amen. At the moment you ask, you must believe you receive. And not only that, and the evil spirit went out of them. If not every sickness has evil spirit. Some people who are sick because there's an evil spirit. If there's an evil spirit, there are three things we have to deal with. One, the oppression of the devil. Two, the evil spirit must leave. Three, the body must recover. Amen. But the handkerchief carries the power that drove all this away. Right now, so we see the healing power. The power was on Paul's body. It was transmitted into the handkerchiefs or aprons. This could be done because there was a special manifestation. Now, this is a very special case. There's a special manifestation of the healing power on Paul. There was power to heal and to drive out evil spirits. You know, it never say in the name of Jesus, cast out demons. No, so there's more than one method to drive out evil spirits. One is the power of God, the anointing on the handkerchief. It's enough to drive out evil spirits. Amen. So what must the sick do when the handkerchief is brought to them? The same law of contact and transmission is applied here. When a sick person receives the handkerchief, he immediately releases his faith and believes the healing power is released from the handkerchief to his body. That moment, I believe the power drives out away or delivers him from oppression of the devil and he is healed. The sick person must believe. What do? You instruct. Amen. Wherever request for handkerchief before, we rode into Rhema, they sent us a handkerchief with instruction. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. These are unusual miracles. Amen. Special anointing manifests on Paul's body and transmitted on cloth because it's far away. So receiving healing through cloth, there's a physical contact. Faith must be released and there is deliverance. Amen. That's why faith is very important, right? The power of God manifests, transmitted on handkerchiefs. That's the grace of God. But how do you receive the grace of God? Through faith. Amen. If automatically grace of God does it, then we don't need to teach anything. We don't even have to come to church. Every time the grace of God will get us healed, everything, right? Our problems are solved by the grace of God. Just confess, oh, thank God for your grace. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody who needs prayer for healing, come out here. I will anoint you. You all can have the worship team come. Thank you, Father.